And we realized that a lot of Instagram posts are essentially product listings. I mean, you can use AI to pull out, you know, the name of the item, the price, the description, things like that, and turn it into a shoppable listing on a website.
Hi, welcome to the Founders with Pet podcast, where I interview amazing entrepreneurs from diverse backgrounds about their journeys, successes, failures, and lessons along the way. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the show. On this episode, I have Capri Wheaton. She's the co-founder of Thrift, spelled with a Y, and Thrift is a app that turns Instagram's somebody's Instagram page into a shopping website in less than a minute. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Here.
Yeah. Welcome. So you're a YC company. And how long have you had this idea? How long have you been working on it? Tell me about the team. Tell me about the product.
Yeah, so we had the idea really started about 2.5 months ago, and we just launched it 2 months ago. So for context, we were actually working on a marketplace idea for the vast majority of the YC batch. And then right before demo day, we actually pivoted to what we're doing now, which is turning your Instagram page into a website in one click, as you mentioned. So pretty soon, pretty short time that we've been launched.
Yeah. What gave you the notion to have to pivot?
Yeah. So, I mean, with building a secondhand clothing marketplace, there were lots of competitors in the space already. It was a very saturated market. We just felt like we were also, you know, not really doing anything that was super cutting edge. We've seen a lot of secondhand clothing marketplaces already pop up and be successful. And we're like, okay, you know, let's kind of try and do a more creative version of that. But what we learned is that, you know, to be successful, we have to do something that's a lot more innovative and different than what everyone else is doing in the space. And so it really started with talking to people selling items on Instagram. We started talking to people who were reselling secondhand clothing, and we realized that they were, you know, doing a very manual process. So they were collecting payments manually from a variety of sources. They were going back and forth with their customers in DMs. They were using third-party shipping sites. They had no way to, you know, send tracking to customers or keep track of their revenue and profits. So for us, we just kind of had this aha moment where we felt we had found a real pain point that we could come in and solve.
Yeah, it sounds like spending time with actual customers or prospects of this really identified some actual real pain points that they were going through. So does Thrift do all that you just mentioned now, like the tracking, shipping, you know, payment all in one place?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy to dive in a little bit deeper into how it actually works. Essentially, the front end piece of it is that we take your Instagram posts, and sorry, to back up, what we realized was, you know, when small businesses, micro businesses are selling on Instagram, you know, they're posting pictures of items onto their Instagram page with, you know, a photo of the item. And then the caption typically has, you know, the item name, the price, the size, et cetera. And we realized that a lot of Instagram posts are essentially product listings. I mean, you can use AI to pull out, you know, the name of the item, the price, the description, things like that, and turn it into a shoppable listing on a website very seamlessly. Essentially, what we do is, you know, if you're a small business running a thrifting Instagram page, you log into a portal, you click sync Instagram, and we pull out all the information from your Instagram posts, and you click one more button, and that generates a website for you and updates that website with all of the listings, the available listings from your Instagram page. And then on the back end, we simplify all the operations from collecting payments, shipping, we automatically send tracking, we track revenue and profit over time, we give you data and analytics on your customers, and essentially handle all the back end functions you'd need to run your business.
Yeah, essentially a Instagram's Shopify.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to use that word. So what's the business model? Do you charge a monthly fee? Is there a transaction fee? All the above?
Yeah, so we charge a small fee per transaction through the platform. Right now, there's no monthly cost, but we do have the option to upgrade to monthly subscription plans for premium features. So, for example, like more customization over your website or integrating with Instagram shopping, more analytics, things like that.
Yeah. How does it compete or compare with Instagram shopping?
Yeah. So for Instagram shopping right now, you actually have to have a website to be able to use that. So essentially what we're saying is instead of using another website builder where it might take you 2 or 3 weeks to set up, super clunky process. You have to, you know, upload all of your listings manually one by one. And then every day you would have to upload your new items onto that website, which is again, a very clunky process. So we're essentially a more seamless website infrastructure that then you can use to integrate with Instagram shopping and shop the products.
If the blocker is, you know, the requirement is you have to have a website, you can just have the website with Thrift.
Exactly.
Yeah, very cool. So I understand you dropped out of school to do this?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah,
I both did.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. How did your parents feel about it, or how did your friends feel?
I think my parents were largely supportive because it was during COVID. So I think that was a really interesting thing for us is that, you know, a lot of my friends actually took breaks from school because of the pandemic. And so I think people were used to this idea of, okay, well, school is super expensive. You know, there may not be as much of a reason to do school if it's just online and you're not making those valuable connections, you know, with professors and other students and, you know, having campus experiences and things like that. So I kind of pitched it to my parents in that way and they were largely supportive, but I did tell them that I was only taking a semester off. And now obviously we've been dropped out for over a year now. So things definitely change. I would say my friends, they were a little bit worried at first and they always ask me like, Capri, when are you coming back to school? But I know it's just from like a loving and supportive place because all they want is obviously for me to be successful and I want the same for them. So it makes sense. I think for us, it's a very personal decision to leave school, but I think for us, it was the right decision.
And I can say, you know, starting your own business is by far probably the best MBA you could probably do, you know, best bang for the buck there.
Absolutely.
How did you find your co-founder?
Yeah, so we actually met in a class at Berkeley and we started going to, it was an entrepreneurship class, and we started going to office hours with our professors. And I had this idea for a website that I wanted to build, but I knew nothing about coding. And so we just kind of naturally teamed up. I asked him if he would build it for me. And then we just kind of realized that we were a really good team. We were both super hacky and just really excited about launching products and talking to people about them. So it's just kind of a natural fit. And then, you know, as COVID hit and we launched our first marketplace idea and started gaining some traction, we just kind of called each other one day and we just knew it was time to leave school because we were kind of getting too busy with that essentially.
Yeah. I actually applied once way back in the day to YC and I didn't get accepted. But, you know, at that time, I don't think I have a real product that had any traction. Tell me about the YC process. How hard was it to get in and all that?
Yeah, so we actually got rejected our first time applying as well. So before we had dropped out, it was the second semester of our freshman year. We applied to YC and we didn't even get an interview. We just straight up got rejected off of our application. And then we had kind of heard, you know, that a lot of people who get in have applied multiple times. So after we had already decided to leave school, we had been dropped out for a few months, but it was the summer at that point. So it wasn't like too irregular. We were just kind of working on the startup full time then. And then we just kind of felt like it might be a shot in the dark, but let's just throw another application out there and see what happens. And then we ended up getting an interview. So we did the interview. Then they came back to us with a lot of questions. And ultimately they said, we're not quite sure. We want to give you guys another month to prove things out. And they wanted to talk to us again in another month. We worked really hard to try and get more traction with our product and really validate some of our ideas in that month. And we came back to them with a little bit more traction and more kind of fleshed out idea of how to market the idea and things like that. And then ultimately we ended up getting in. So it was a little bit of an unconventional process the second time, but that's kind of how it went for us.
Yeah. And this was from with the original idea. And then how did they feel when you pivoted?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was interesting because actually when we got the call, I didn't get the call. It was my co-founder, Sam, that got it. And it was Don Caldwell that called him and he said, you know, we're going to let you guys in because you've built a really good product. But we don't know if this is the thing that you should be working on. And that was what they said about our previous marketplace idea. So that was kind of in our back, in the back of our mind, this whole batch was really the idea that, like, is the marketplace what we should be doing? And then I think as soon as we found a real pain point that we could solve, it just kind of was a very natural pivot. And I think the partners would kind of feel the same way about that. And then it was just instantly kind of a little bit easier than the marketplace, and morale was much higher. So I think in our office hours, one thing they said to us as well is follow your gut and ultimately follow what you're excited about. And so that's how we ended up kind of deciding on the pivot.
For people who are thinking about applying to YC and accelerators in general, could you tell us the experience? And then also maybe your experience, like all like COVID, right? Mm-hmm. YC versus like maybe normal YC, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Wait, sorry. Can you repeat the first question?
Yeah. I tend to ask a lot of questions in a row, right? But tell us about the YC experience for those of us who are maybe thinking of applying or wondering what it's like.
Yeah. If you want to get in, definitely apply. And I would say, don't be afraid to apply 2, 3, 4 plus times. I know a lot of founders that have gotten in on like their third or fourth try. So definitely if it's something you want to do, just keep pushing. And I think they really like to see that. The experience itself is really unique, I would say. There's kind of like demo day pressure cooker at the end of it. It's like a really fast-paced environment. You're doing a ton of learning. They have so many workshops from, you know, successful founders from previous batches that are very helpful. They keep it very real and give very tangible feedback, which I would say was really helpful for us. They don't ever like sugarcoat anything, which I think was really helpful. And then the whole thing is essentially a sprint to demo day. Just how much traction can we get before then? How much can we validate before we, you know, fundraise in 3 months. I would say also one of the most beneficial thing was actually the network of our other peers in our batch, because, you know, you're in a batch with, like, for us, I think it was around like 300, 350 people, and everyone has such diverse experiences, right? Like us as like college, you know, sophomores going to the program with little to no actual professional experience, but really hacky minds. And you like people who have been, you know, doing startups for decades, like all ends of the spectrum, you know, people from different countries, people from different companies. And it's really cool because everyone has their own expertise that they can bring to whatever problem you might be facing.
Yeah. Who are some of the experienced entrepreneur speakers that you really got some good insights from?
Yeah, I would say I was just reading back my notes from the talk that the Airbnb founders gave, and that was really inspiring. I think it's interesting because they were kind of building a completely new market and really revolutionizing the industry of, you know, travel. And for the first time, people could monetize like bedrooms in their homes. They just were really disruptors. And so it was fascinating to hear their stories and their struggles and how they ended up making ends meet. And I don't know if you've heard the story about the cereal boxes that they sold.
Yeah, but Obamos, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, you know, yeah, I think Sam and I just admire them so much.
Yeah, I think Paul Graham uses the word cockroaches, right? Like survive, like cockroaches can survive. Like they're being really gritty that way and scrappy. What about, you mentioned like a cohort of over 300. How does that look now, like with it being virtual? It was virtual, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so I think they do a really good job at breaking us down into smaller groups. So we have kind of our core, I'd say, group that we are attached to like three partners. So they're about like, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 of us, I would say, maybe less. And then Hard, Shalton, and Nicholas kind of manage the group and advise those people. And they host like group office hours with just your small group and founder-led office hours with that small group. So you really get to know a smaller group of founders really well. And then they have this thing called Donut, which basically kind of randomly pairs you with other founders in the batch. So every week or every couple of weeks, you'll, you know, do coffee chats with other founders. So even though it's remote, I felt like I was still able to really get to know some founders on a personal level. So it's really good.
Is that a Slack app or something? I've heard of Donut, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is in Slack. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. What are some of the other impressive teams? What sort of products are you seeing that people are coming up with?
Yeah, I mean, I think the craziest thing I've seen in this batch is Regent. I don't know if you've looked into them. They're kind of like a half boat, half airplane travel. I would say, you know, articles about that company are so incredibly interesting and what they're trying to do with travel. That's insane. Yeah, I think there's just some very interesting things in the batch all around. Watching demo day was absolutely crazy because, of course, you generally know who's in the batch. You know exactly what people are up to until that like culmination. And that was one of the things I discovered on demo day.
Okay. Can you give us some advice on and tips on the pitch and the deck? What are some of the stuff that you had to really work hard on?
Yeah, I may need to think a little bit about that one. I think one thing I've worked hard on is trying to make the pitch more of a conversation and feel kind of less pitchy, and then kind of focus on our unique insights. Because for us, you know, being in the secondhand space already, creating a marketplace, being close to our customers, we had, you know, a lot of interesting insights about the needs of our customers. So switching the conversations geared more towards those types of insights and what we're seeing and hearing, I think led us to a little bit more success.
Got it. Great. What kind of interesting insights have you gotten from merchants and small businesses that are trying to sell secondhand?
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting things we've learned from the secondhand and reseller space particularly is that, you know, the sellers really aren't restricted by the amount of inventory they have to sell. They're really only restricted by their time. So, you know, currently they're doing this very manual back and forth in DMs, you know, switching through multiple platforms process to complete a sale. And so by kind of simplifying the process of, you know, payment, shipping, et cetera, we're actually enabling them to sell more. Another interesting thing we learned was that backouts are a huge problem amongst these kind of resellers who are doing manual transactions, because they'll be in a live stream, they'll hold up an item, someone will, you know, say they want to buy it. And then after the live stream ends, when, you know, they're going to collect payments from people, they'll realize, oh my gosh, 25 people don't want to pay me and I lost so much money. And so, you know, being able to kind of have insights about who exactly is paying you in real time, getting that confirmation through the thrift link, like, okay, these people are actually paying me, is pretty valuable, because, you know, especially on a live stream where if someone doesn't buy it, someone else will want to buy it on the live stream. So you need to kind of know really who's in. Another interesting thing was that I think, you know, it's really important to them to sell as close to Instagram as possible. We've kind of tried to design a website that's very seamless to where you don't have to, if you're a customer, you don't have to create an account or like look too deeply for the product or like kind of go through too much kind of fluff on someone's website. You can just go straight to the product. And I think that's really important for our customers, because they like the whole process of engaging their customers just, you know, through stories and through comments and all of that. They really just need a simpler process of payment, shipping, tracking, the kind of boring things. So that's what we can really easily handle through the website.
Yeah, but it's still up to them to manually ship the product once it's transacted.
Correct, yeah.
I didn't realize so many people kind of, you know, I just assumed that it was the feed and people posting images of products, but it seems like people are also doing live and stories to promote stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it depends. You know, we've heard businesses typically do a mix. There's drops, lives, and story sales. And we found the typical account does about two of those pretty regularly. But lives are a really cool way of selling, because you can move products so fast, especially if you have a decent sized following and you get a ton of people to join. You can move products very quickly.
Give me an example of these small businesses and what type of stuff are they selling?
Yeah, one of our sellers named Caitlin runs a store called A Bitch for Brandy, where she resells Brandy Melville clothing, which is, you know, kind of really cute and trendy summery items. And so she has about 9,000 followers on her platform. She does Instagram lives, you know, once every week. She also actually runs a second selling an Instagram account selling custom crew necks and things like that. So she's both a thrift reseller and sells custom items that she makes. So I think that's the typical profile right now, because we're working with thrifted clothing sellers is typically younger females. So anywhere from about 16 to mid 20s, really, people with, you know, several thousand followers, we're selling kind of trendier items. Mm-hmm. So that's our kind of initial target market, but we are definitely excited to expand into sneakers, handmade jewelry, you know, all sorts of other categories as well in the future.
Yeah, I can see those being pretty big, especially the sneaker.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How do these customers find you?
Yeah, so right now it's a mixture of cold outreach, organic word of mouth, and referrals. It's been exciting to see, you know, when we get a decent sized seller on board, we have a lot of other sellers that sign up pretty immediately because of that, which is a really cool process to see. It's a really interesting social game, because another interesting insight we learned is that these communities and in their specific verticals are really tight knit. So for example, the vertical of, you know, young girls selling thrifted clothing, they all are in group chats with each other. They all know each other. Smaller accounts look up to bigger accounts. We kind of have to play the social game of, you know, anytime we onboard a new customer, they're always like, oh, who else is using this type of thing? That's kind of a double-edged sword. The benefit to that, obviously, is that there are massive network effects. And once we kind of get a good amount of people in the community using the product, then it'll be so much easier to kind of have that snowball effect and just get everyone on board. But the kind of flip side to that is that, you know, it is a kind of a social game that we have to play. And, you know, the real way to incentivize people to get on is for them to see their friends using the product.
Right, right. And it's hard to get, you know, nobody wants to be the first. Yeah. I think it's like that with everything, right? Like VCs are like that. People are like, oh, come back to us when, you know, and then when your deal is hot, then they all want to invest.
Totally. Yep.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a really fun and insightful interview. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I wanted to showcase all types of entrepreneurs, highlighting not just kind of like, you know, your prototypical white male founder, but yeah, and also folks in kind of every stage of the company.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was super fun.
Yeah. So if you have a Instagram page and you are selling stuff, where should they go?
They should go to thrift.shop. So thrift.shop. That's our website. You can also visit our Instagram. It's at shop thrift. So shop and then thrift. And you can DM us or sign up through the website and we'll help get you set up.
And it's either you or Sam answering.
It'll be me or Sam.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun, Capri.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Founders with Peck. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform or our YouTube channel. If you leave us a review, I'll be sure to shout it out. And if you have any questions, you can tweet me on Twitter.